Can storytelling change the world? My next two guests believe it can. They're working with refugee children to help them embrace the power of their own stories and then make those stories accessible to the public. You're tuned to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me in this recorded interview to discuss this work and its impact are Make Tank Executive Director Kate Carlier-Curry and Board Member Enoch Siddiqui. Thank you both for being here.
Oh, thank you. We're delighted to be here today.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Well, Kate, you started this illustrated memoir project in 2019. What was your goal with the project?
So the idea behind the work was to find ways to help increase intellectual self-trust in immigrant and refugee youth. So I thought centering the kids' lived experience and positioning them as the author of their own story and the illustrators, it turns out, was a way to kind of increase their self-efficacy and think of themselves as knowledge creators.
And did you have experience with immigrant or refugee youth that made you feel like this was really needed, that they maybe weren't getting that kind of encouragement or reinforcement in other areas?
Not really. I had been working more with under-resourced youth just in rural communities here in Ohio and in the city of Cincinnati. But it was kind of 2016, I was going back to school to kind of dive deeper into this work. And there was just a lot of rhetoric in the news at the time about immigrant and refugee youth and just ever-increasing numbers of displaced people globally. And so I was trying to think, well, where could I be of most use in the world, and kind of conceived of this storytelling project as a way to try to address that.
Enoch, you're a previous participant in this project. How old were you when you moved to the U.S.?
I moved when I was 8. I first moved to Rhode Island. So I came through like the UN as a refugee from Uganda in the Kivu Valley. And it was a long process. It took years for my parents to get like their visa and stuff. But we got here in 2014 and kind of moved around the country.
Yeah. And when did you end up in Cincinnati?
Moved during COVID, actually, which is crazy. I don't know why my parents decided to move during COVID, but my dad had lost his job, and he was the only person working in the family. I was like 14, 15, and my other brother was 17 or 16, and he wasn't working. So he tried to find other opportunities, and we also found out that we had families out here in Ohio that got disconnected from us, so we came back just for that.
Tell us about how you got connected with this illustrated memoir project and the story you told it through it.
I got here to Ohio and Cincinnati, and then got enrolled at Aiken High School. I didn't know much about the school, wasn't excited about the school at all, because I just like moved from a state where I lived for 5 years, spent my childhood in there, and I had to like restart and like relive again and find new friends. So I wasn't really excited about anything. Mr. Parker was like the connector of everything. He does so much at the school that he helps students, like mostly international students that are coming in. He kind of, not forced me, but like encouraged me to do cross country. And I was like, okay, I should just do it, because the school didn't have a soccer team and they didn't have anything to do. So I wanted to play a sport and do something and be involved into the school, or like do something in the community. And Mr. Parker is the one that connected me to Ms. Curry. She shared about how things work, how we just have to tell a story that happened in our lives that has to be true. And I kind of knew what to tell. I already had a story. I already like knew what to say. I just got down to writing and started writing. But the drawing, the illustration was the hardest part for me, because I don't really like drawing, and like I'm not that creative when it comes to that aspect. But she encouraged me and told me, it's okay, you can have your own different ways of drawing. It can be unique. So I was doing like stick figures, and like some students didn't like it. But then when I shared it with like little kids would be like, wow, you're the best drawer. Oh my Aww. God. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, can you share with us the story you decided to tell? You said you knew right away what yeah. story you wanted to tell. What's your story about?
Yeah. So I have so much stories. So many things happened in my life. But I believe the only one that really mattered the most was about my childhood and how, like, I grew up. There's three things in the story. There's the cows. We had cows. if you don't know about the culture in Uganda, and also my ethnicity is Rwandan, so cows are big things in my culture. Like, we just raise them as cattle. We don't really like have just to eat them or whatever, but we raise them. It's a culture thing. And then soccer, which is like a big thing in my life. And then the other part was about just like living as a kid and like having to like stay away from those things that were going on as a refugee and having to like have fun and like enjoy the time I had as a refugee. A lot of times we didn't really have anything to do other than like if you decided to just spend your time thinking about the struggles they're going through, you just like stay struggling or like just be in a bad mental state. So like soccer and like playing games and doing other things are the things that really helped me not stay in that space and that environment. And I shared about my experience, how growing up in that space and that environment really helped me and how I got to get here.
Well, Kate, in May, I know you and Enoch traveled to a refugee settlement in Uganda to bring the project to young people there. Why did you want to take this project to Uganda and that refugee camp?
Well, the intent when I first came up with the idea of this program was to travel the work to different refugee settlements. But again, it was 2019, 2020 was our pilot season. So COVID started and we just ended up staying here in the U.S. So we finally felt like it was a good time to start traveling and built those kind of international partnerships that were needed to make that happen. But specifically chose Nakia Valley in Uganda as our first international work site because that's where Enoch was born and raised. And so when we were working together back in 21 or 22, I had said to him, because we spent a lot of time, he came back the next year and we made a stop motion animation short film of his book. So we spent a lot of quality time together. And I was like, one day when I finally get this project like out of the U.S., the first place we're going is Nakia Valley and you're going to come with me. And he was like, uh-huh. So we were sitting there this summer having dinner one night and he's like, I can't believe you actually did it. Like, I can't believe we're here. But it was really wonderful, especially as our kind of first international iteration of the project, to go there with Enoch, to be back. He still has loads of family there. And just to have that connection and to be able to do the project together was just a wonderful opportunity and so fun. We had such a wonderful time.
We're talking about an illustrated memoir project that works with refugee children to encourage them to write their stories. Enoch, what did it mean to you to go back and help run this project in this settlement where you spent so much time?
I can't tell you all the emotions that I was going through when I was there. Kay probably didn't see it like on the face because I wasn't showing it, but it was so much emotions going on inside. Just like seeing, going back and then seeing kids that are in the same shoes I was in about like 11 years ago. And like seeing how those kids are like working hard, having to dream. Because when I was there, I didn't really think I can dream. I didn't have goals. I didn't really know about my future or where it was or where I was headed in life. But going back and seeing these kids have dreams and goals really like showed me like, oh wow, maybe things have changed, you know? Like, because when I was there, I couldn't dream. I didn't have dreams at all. I was just living in the moment and not like thinking about the future. But these kids had dreams. They had goals. Some of them want to become writers. Some of them want to become doctors. And I'm just sitting there, I'm like, wow, this is amazing. And just also hearing the stories, I feel like everybody's story matters, but some stories need to be heard and like seen. And those stories that like their role are things that happened in their lives, like some trauma stuff that happened. Some of them really went through some hard stuff, and just seeing it and like hearing it and then watching them draw was just so much.
What did you hear from the kids who took part in the project? Did they talk with you, Enoch, about what it meant to them to be involved?
Yeah, we would talk and they would share about how they loved the program and how it helped them like write down what they feel. Really, because like in my culture, in the African culture, we don't really express our feelings. We're raised to man up and not show your emotions and not really talk about your emotions. Also, like, it's also in the American culture too, like men don't really show their emotions. But there it's different. It's even sometimes it's even women can't show your emotions. And providing that space for them to like write and draw things down, like what they feel and what they have experienced, really helped them. And some of them will just like stay after the program to just like do extra writings or drawing. It was amazing.
Kate, you know, so much of what we hear about refugee communities focuses on the difficult and the painful parts of their lives and past, the trauma that they've been through. This project really seems about shining light on strengths. Is that right?
You know, all we ask is that you share some true story from your life. So some of those stories are really traumatic and difficult and painful, but some are really joyful and lovely and hopeful. And so I think it's that kind of full spectrum of human experience and human emotion that comes through in the work. And definitely, I think, in our experience there, I think that was why it was kind of exhausting. Like, after we got home, I was really tired for a couple of weeks because it was just this whole joy and pain of human experience, but everything seemed really concentrated. Like, the suffering that some of the kids had experienced was so great, but it was also like our days were so filled with joy at the same time. Yeah. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about human existence, but it's also really becomes made like physically present in this work because it is so visceral, seeing the drawings that go along with the writing. The writing's one thing, but I think the drawings done by the participants themselves really help get those feelings across and really help you to kind of know a person in a way that I don't think you can otherwise.
Did this project, you know, make you think about your story any differently or make you think about yourself any differently?
Yeah, I think since I wrote the story in the book, I've like grown into a whole different person. I was away from my story and who I am when I was in high school. I wasn't really focused on my past and like what my story is like and who I am. But writing that story, that one book, really changed my whole life and who I am today. I don't think I would be here if I hadn't wrote that story. You know, I wouldn't be in Uganda. I wouldn't have been in Uganda last year, last summer, working with kids if I hadn't wrote that story. So that story has like helped me and changed who I am today.
What did you hear from the young people in Uganda, Enoch? Do you think this project helped them think about themselves differently?
Yeah, because this is for a lot of them, this was the first time they ever wrote anything. And some of them were already poets, but they never knew how to let their work get out there and have the space to write about themselves. And they were so excited. Like, some of them wanted to write more. They contact us and text us, oh, can I write something and send it to you and you can print it for me? They're all excited. They all want to write. They all have like stories to tell. And if you were there, you'd be amazed.
Well, Kate, part of your goal, as I understand it, is to help people have a better and more complete understanding of refugee communities. So to get that, how can we read and see these memoirs? What goes into that part of it?
Well, so each book we publish just online, you know, through a self-publishing site so that every participant receives a professionally published copy of their own book for themselves to keep. And then whatever our community partner is, like it was a library in Nakiabali, they all get a copy of the books there. They are available as digital books on our website, which is just illustratedmemoir.org. And then we find different ways to share them out. So when we're working with kids here in Cincinnati, like Enoch in particular, but lots of other kids have done, we do story times at different schools and libraries and community centers and bookstores. But also we sometimes just display the art. So the Contemporary Art Center last year in 2024 hosted an exhibition of original artwork from the first 5 years of the project here in Cincinnati. And then we'll be back at the Contemporary Art Center. That show's going to be January 15th through March 8th on display. And that is just original artwork from the project in Nakiavali. So there's artwork there. The books will be there from that project. And then there'll be like a little video compilation because, of course, sadly, we can't have the actual kids there. But Enoch took some videos interviewing some of the participants while we were there, and so that will be shared there as well. And then we are also working to develop a middle school curriculum that we're going to try to pilot originally up in Talawanda School District, with the backbone of that curriculum in world cultures really being a selection of these stories, and then with more scholarly pieces kind of investigating different topics that they touch on.
So, Enoch, this means you're a published author. I mean, not only did you write this, but you're published and you've gotten to talk to people about it over and over. What has that meant to you?
Going back to, like, in high school, that, like, part of changing who I am, being a publisher, and then I had to be on the news too. So that was really big when I was only, like, 17. So I was, like, it was, like, something that hit my face, and I was like, wow, I'm really changing. Like, I have to grow into this whole new person that I wasn't expecting to be. And that has helped me, like, in choices that I do. Like, even going to college, wanting to pursue a degree in sociology. And, yeah, and it has definitely changed what I want to do in the future, helping people, helping kids, wanting to mentor young kids, especially here, because so many kids out here don't really know about the other world, the side of the world. They think America is just America. It's like the rest of the world. They really don't know like what somebody's going through, you know? They have things the other kids wish they had. And sometimes we get like so much lived into that one space, and we like don't think about the rest of the world. And I just want to really like kind of help in the same way as Kay is helping in the future, to help other kids here see like there's a different part of the world that's living, that's going through things.
Well, I want to ask you both, you've got this CAC exhibit coming up later in January. What do you hope people learn and take away from the exhibit, Kate?
Well, there's a few things. I mean, one is kind of what Enoch was saying, just the diversity of lived experience that's going on right now in the world. I think it's really hard for people in the U.S. to conceive of how little some of the kids have that we work with. And to kind of get a better understanding, more empathy for that lived experience. And, you know, it's not like these kids were born refugees. You know, they had lovely lives with their families, and then, you know, world events drove them from their home. So one, I guess, is that richer understanding of the diversity of experience in the world, but also, you know, the impact of some of the, I guess, policy and funding decisions that are happening, not just here in the U.S., but globally right now, and how much help is really needed, and how far very little help can go in those environments. What we have seen just being there last year and now preparing to go back next year, the impacts of some of the funding changes that have happened have been really profound in people's lives. So I think just maybe sparking curiosity to learn more about refugee experience around the world, because it's, you know, it's an ever-increasing phenomenon. There's more displaced people now globally than there have ever been, and that does not show any signs of stopping. So I think it behooves everyone to understand that situation better.
Yeah. Enoch, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, we just really want to help more people see, like, how the other world looks like. I know it's hard to, like, see it when, like, it's not on the news all the time, or, like, the wrong things are represented on the news, or it's not, like, taught in the schools here. But if we can do it through schools, maybe starting, like we started at Aiken, like, going to other schools and, like, share about this, and, like, that's really where it starts, the education part, and I really think can help kids, like, in the future, like, know more about refugees and know, like, about other things that are happening in the world, you know?
Yeah, I think that's certainly one of our big drivers, is to start to change the way young people understand the world that they live in. And I was just thinking, like, more and more, I see things online, you see videos, you even see just still images, and it's becoming harder and harder to trust anything you see. Even in the last 6 months, just profoundly, I look at something, I'm like, I don't know if I believe that that's true.
Yeah.
But these these books, I mean, they are hand-drawn by the children who lived that story. They are true. Yeah. So I think that's can be a really important resource in educating young people to have these very trustworthy resources about what refugee and immigrant lived experience is. Yeah.
You both are familiar with these stories that the children in Uganda told in their memoirs. I wonder, do either of you have specific kind of tangible details in these stories that you think Americans will relate to, experiences that are kind of universal in any of these stories?
Yeah, I think there's some kids talk about struggling. Obviously, like, America is not perfect. There's kids out here that are struggling too, that even could even be in worse positions than the kids we actually talk to. So if these books can get to kids like those that are in like similar positions that are going through the same thing, like, not everybody has food on the table to eat here and or clothes or a place to sleep. So if these books can get to those people, they can relate to like those stories.
Yeah, that's, I don't know that I could say it any better than Enoch just did. I think so many of the kids, a lot of them have lost one or both of their parents. Many of the kids we worked with were orphaned. One of the things I think I was so struck by was how important school is to the kids there, because it's not a given. 80% of the kids in Nokia Valley do not have access to school because you have to pay to go to school. And so how appreciative they are of their schooling and how important it is was something that really struck me over and over again in the stories. And that just determination, even, you know, living by themselves in a settlement with no family and no support, their determination to improve their own community in whatever way they could. You know, it wasn't like, what can everybody here do for me? It's like, what can I do and how can I use my strengths and talents and passions to help raise up the other young people around me, which was just deeply inspiring to both of us, I think. Yeah.
Well, you can find more information about this project and the CAC exhibit that we've talked about and a link to these illustrated memoirs on our website, wvxu.org. I've been talking with Make Tank Executive Director Kate Carlier-Curry and Board Member Enoch Siddiqui. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. Our producer is Selena Reeder. Associate producer is Harper Carlton. Technical director is Carlos Lopez Cornu. I'm Lucy May. Thanks for listening.